Them to live with passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Merry Christmas. I'm Father Cedric Pazenia, the host of Live with Passion. So glad that you tuned into the program. I want to proclaim to you the gospel from Luke, and we have this read at midnight mass. Here's a portion. While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Now, there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. They were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord." The Gospel of the Lord. I want to wish you a merry, joyous Christmas. This is a time of blessings, time of miracles, a time when families get together. It's also a time when nations, even though nations are at war, they actually have ceasefires on Christmas Day. And can I tell you something? I want you to have a Merry Christmas. And if you're at table and somebody starts talking about politics and they disagree with you, let it go, let it drop, have a ceasefire, have a Merry Christmas. Don't get all riled up, don't get all worked up, have peace. If you're alone on this Christmas, then I pray that you will have peace and a Merry Christmas also. Christmas in the holiday season can be a time of depression, can be a time of grieving because you've lost a loved one over the course of the last year, or it can be a time of hardship. Well, I pray that you will have a Merry Christmas. And when I say Merry Christmas, I mean joyous and happy and merry. Why? Because a Savior has been born for us. That's what the angels told the shepherds. And the name Jesus, as I think you know, has a meaning. The name Jesus was given to Joseph by an angel, and the name Jesus means God saves. And that's why we have a Merry Christmas, because God has bared his holy arm, if you will, that's right from the scriptures, and he so loved us that he gave us his own son to bring us eternal life. That's the meaning of Christmas, that we could be saved from death, saved from perishing, and have everlasting life. It was Fulton Sheen in his book about Christ who talked about Jesus, and he said that Jesus was the only person ever born to die. Think about that. We're all born because God gave us life and we're born to live. But Jesus had a mission right from the get-go, right from the crib in Bethlehem. His mission was, he was born to die. He was born to save us. He was born to redeem us. He came to earth not just to live an earthly existence, because he had a heavenly existence. And in one of the readings at Mass, it talks about the Word that existed from all eternity humbled himself and became flesh. Jesus didn't have to be born, but he was born to die. And the cross, the shadow of the cross, hung over the crib. That's very alliterative, the cross and the crib. There was a reason for the birth of Jesus, and that was to save us. And that's why we have a Merry Christmas. And I want you to get that message. Jesus is Savior. I saw a bumper sticker in a car, and by the way, there's a lot of traffic now. People are out shopping, and it's Christmas time, and going to the malls and everything. And I saw a bumper sticker, you've probably seen it too. Jesus is the reason for the season. When I first saw that, I said, yeah, everybody knows that. Jesus is the reason for the season. Then I thought, wait a minute, hold on. People going by with Christmas trees, and there's Santa Claus, and the elves, and the reindeer, and the malls are packed. They say that online shopping, 75% of online shopping happens during the Christmas season. And I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute, maybe everybody doesn't know that Jesus is the reason for the season. And we have to be reminded of that Christmas really, aside from all the gift giving and all the flutter and all the hustle and all the bustle and all the traffic and everything, really, Jesus is the reason. We want to focus on that. Some of you are going to church today. Some of you have already been to church. Some of you aren't even going to go to church. Thank you for welcoming me into your home. I'm going to give you the reason for the season. And that's a relationship with Jesus. That's Jesus being born to a peasant girl named Mary in a manger because there's no room at the inn. But that whole thing about there being no room at the inn, oftentimes there's no room in people's hearts for Jesus. And that's really sad. The angels appeared to shepherds. You would think that the angels would have come to King Herod. Look, king, you're the king of Israel here. God's having a son. Go and worship him. Or to the royalty, or to the predominant families. Or what about all the religious people? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, you know, all these different, the Essenes out in the desert, all these religious people that are praying all these different prayers. And the angels appear to shepherds, smelly shepherds watching over their sheep, to the lowly, to the outcasts. But isn't that the way Jesus was throughout his ministry? Remember what he said? He said, I haven't come for the healthy, I've come for the sick. I haven't come for the righteous, I've come for sinners to bring them to repentance. If you're not going to church, and many of you aren't, maybe you're not even faithful, you don't have much faith in Jesus, you're just kind of tweaked by this, you happen to flip into the program, I want to tell you that Jesus came for you. You're the shepherds in the story. He comes for the lowly, the marginalized, the outcast. Some of you are watching me from prison. Yeah, you've done some things in your past. Okay, he came for you, to forgive you, to love you, to raise you up. Merry Christmas to you. Came for, as we saw in the Gospels, prostitutes, for wicked sinners, for tax collectors, you name it. He came for those type people. Jesus didn't come for the religious people per se. In fact, the religious people are the ones that got in an argument with him. He came for anyone who would make room in their hearts. And if you haven't been religious per se, for most of your life or some of your life. Maybe you grew up religious but fell away and now it's Christmas and you're looking for something. Well, this is the place. Just make room for him and he'll be born in your heart. That's why he came. His name is Jesus. God saves. He came for you. And if you are religious, many of you, most people that watch my program, yeah, you're religious, you support me, I appreciate that. Came for you too. He came to save all people, and that's why glad tidings of great joy, the angel said. Why do we give gifts on Christmas? That's the predominant thing that's happening. You know, people are at the malls and buying this and that to give gifts. Why do we give gifts on Christmas? Because God gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world. That's the reason for the season. Let me talk about Jesus here for a minute. Back in the 1500s, Leonardo da Vinci, great painter, Leonardo da Vinci, he painted this portrait of Jesus called the Savior of the World. This particular portrait of Jesus shows Jesus holding in his left hand an orb, symbolic for the world, hand raised in blessing. This particular portrait of Jesus was sold at an auction for $450 million by a Saudi Arabian prince. That's the most that anyone has ever paid for any portrait ever made, and it was of Jesus. And you know what it tells me? That Jesus is valuable, that we cannot put an estimate on his worth. He is of inestimable value. And that's the gift that God gives to us, Jesus himself. And I'm praying that on this Christmas day, whether you're religious or not, that you will receive him, make him Lord of your life in a new way. Now, there's two parts to Christmas. One is the giving of gifts, and the other is the receiving of gifts. God has given the gift, but we have to receive him. He came unto his own, the Gospel of John said, but his own did not receive him. But to any who did receive him, he gave power to become the children of God. And that's what I want you to do. What would I want you to receive? What would happen if you gave an expensive diamond ring to your wife or to a family member, you wrapped it up, put it under the tree, and they didn't receive it? They didn't open it up. Wouldn't you say, here's a gift for you, open it up. I want it to make you happy. I want you to enjoy it. And that's the same way with God. God has given us this invaluable, inestimable of value gift, his only begotten son. And oftentimes, people don't receive him. They don't open the gift. They don't enjoy it. They don't know him. And I'll tell you, if you open the gift, if you receive him today, wow, your life will change. You will be transformed. People pack churches on Christmas. They stand along the walls. When I was young, I used to do that too. But the next Sunday, it's back to normal. Where did all the people go? I want you to have a faith that is constant and alive, that makes you participate. Not just, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, sure, you know, in Christmas, everybody believes. No, there's more to Christianity than going to church once a week or once a year on Christmas or Easter, twice a year. It's about living Christianity and letting Jesus be Lord of your life and receiving the gift. As I said, Jesus is the reason for the season. I heard about another painter. His name is Holman Hunt. He painted this portrait of Revelation 3:20, Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts. That's what it says in Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and anyone who opens," there was no room for him at the inn, and I'm hoping that you're going to open the door of your heart, "anyone who opens, I will come in and sup with them." Holman Hunt painted that portrait of Jesus knocking at the door, and he showed it at an art gallery, and everybody gathered around, and they all liked it and everything. And then one critic went over to him and said, "Holman, it's a very beautiful portrait of Jesus called The Light of the World. He's holding a lantern and knocking on the door. There's only one problem. You left the knob off the door." And if you look closely, there's Jesus knocking at the door, but there's no handle to the door. And Holman Hunt said, "I'm so glad that you noticed that. I did that intentionally because that door is the door of your heart. And the only way it can be opened is from the inside. And that's where the handle is." Jesus will never force his way in. He'll never barge his way in. He's very humble. He's very gentle. And I'm inviting you today to turn the handle, open the door, and receive Jesus. He will empower you. He'll give you the power to become a child of God. Just simply surrender and say, "Jesus, be Lord of my life. I believe in you. I know you were born for me. Forgive my sins. I want eternal life." Whether you go to church or you don't go to church, and I believe that Jesus will come in and everything will start changing. Christmas is a season of giving, and we give because God gave first. I heard a story that I wanted to share with you about a young man. He was 11 years old at the time. This happened a couple years ago. His name was Carter Wiles. And he was sent from foster home to foster home to foster home. Finally, one Christmas, he ended up with his aunt, Leah Kiphart, and her 7 children. And he was just celebrating Christmas with his family, the aunt. And he received this small box. And in the small box was a picture of the family and the children with a little note. And the note says, "We'd love for you to be in the next picture. Would you join our family? We love you." And he said, yes. What a gift to receive on Christmas. Little Carter was adopted into that family. That's the best gift of all. And that's exactly, and I told you that story, because that's exactly what's happening at Christmas. It says in the letter to the Galatians that we have been adopted through Jesus into the family of God. We are the adopted sons and daughters of God. We weren't born divine. Jesus had to come and divinize us. That's exactly what one of the early church fathers said, St. Athanasius. He lived in the 300s, and he said, get this, "God became man so that man could become God." I love that. That's called being divinized or regenerated or born again, a new creature in Christ. We're adopted, yes, but we're also transformed. Something real happens. God pours the Spirit of His Son into us to make us His children, His sons and daughters. A new reality, a new creation is occurring on this Christmas day. Yes, we're adopted into the family. That's a wonderful gift, but we're actually becoming divinized. God became man so that man could become God. That's beautiful. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's allowing God to transform us. Receive the gift. That's receiving the gift of Jesus. Most people, yeah, I believe in Jesus, or maybe they even go to church, but they don't realize who they are. Children of God, sons and daughters of God, adopted into the family, heirs to eternal life, heirs to God. That's exactly what it says in the scripture. And then being transformed, sanctified by the Holy Spirit living within us, divinized. We have the mind of Christ, becoming like Jesus. Do you understand? Jesus is the reason for the season. I know it's a cultural event, and everybody's out shopping, and there's hustle and bustle, and there's angels flying around, and there's Santa Claus and the reindeer and Christmas trees and all that. It's about being born again. Jesus was born so that we could be born again. It's about having a new relationship with God. It's about knowing Jesus in a personal way. Christmas is all about Jesus. And then on TV, there's football games, and maybe you're going to be tuning in later. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying there's all kinds of different things. And what about the movies that come out? For example, It's a Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart, and he plays the character George Bailey. George Bailey is depressed. It's Christmas time and he's depressed. By the way, I started off the program with this. A lot of people get depressed at Christmas time, and that's because they're alone. And if you're alone, I want you to know that God is there. He loves you. He sent His Son for you, and you're really not alone. And you can have a Merry Christmas. Don't be thinking about what everybody else is doing. This is your Christmas. It's a gift from God to you. Enjoy it. Have a Merry Christmas. And people will get depressed because, and even suicidal, because they've lost a loved one. It's their first or second or third Christmas without them. It was hard for me to lose my mom and dad. I always celebrated Christmas with them. Now, I don't have my mom and dad to celebrate Christmas with, and I'm not married. I celebrate with the religious community, but you gotta adapt to what you're going through. But anyway, my point is, people get depressed and suicidal and they're grieving and it's a hard time. Well, anyway, George Bailey's going through a hard time and he's gonna commit suicide, and he sees this angel. He didn't know it was an angel, but an angel was about to jump off a bridge, and he saved that person, that angel, from jumping off the bridge. And the angel revealed to him what a difference George Bailey was making, not only in the angel's life, but in everybody's life. And he showed him his life and the impact that he's had on people and how he's helped people throughout his life and what life would have been like if George Bailey had not been alive. And George came to this great realization that there's a tremendous meaning in life. And it's a wonderful life. Remember how I began the program? It's the most wonderful time of the year. And the truth is that God gave you life, and he's working in you and through you to touch people, to help people, to save people, to encourage people. And I pray that you will be Christ-like. When I talk about being transformed in Jesus and becoming divinized, that's the way God is. God is generous. God is loving. God is forgiving. And that's our call. In one of my other episodes, I talk about how we have the heart of Christ, the sacred heart of Jesus. And that's exactly what God wants from us. It is a wonderful life, and you do have a purpose. You do have meaning, and that meaning is to help other people. And so if you are suffering and lonely and even depressed or grieving or maybe even thinking of ending your life, please don't. Merry Christmas. Get in touch with the blessing. Make room in your heart. Open it up to the Lord Jesus. He will help you. He will lift you up. He will be your strength, and he will transform you. Quit the negativity and be positive. And then there's the story really quickly that I saw on television. We've all seen this. Dickens, A Christmas Carol. It's all about this Ebenezer Scrooge. You know, he's real negative and selfish, and he's a miser with money and that whole thing. Well, anyway, he gets this visitation from these angels. The angel, actually, it was the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and then I want to talk about the ghost of Christmas future. And he's a miser, and he's real selfish. We get that name Scrooge from that. Well, anyway, the ghost of Christmas future comes to him and points out his future and points to his tombstone that he's going to die. And it so traumatized him. He wakes up and he knew that he needed to change his life. The man that worked for him, Bob Cratchit, had a little boy named Tiny Tim who was disabled. And Scrooge adopts him, gives them all a turkey so that they can, and starts giving his money away so that they could celebrate Christmas in a beautiful way. He's running down the street, jumping up and down for joy because he's given another chance, a time to change his life, and he did change his life. And I think that's one of the major messages of Christmas, that no matter who we are or what we've done or how miserly or selfish or stingy we might have been with our life, God is giving us time to change. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's right from the Bible. That's one of the major works that Christ has done in me. Remember, it's all about making room for him and receiving Jesus. I used to be pretty stingy myself, but God turned me into a generous person, and I'm getting there. I'm not totally there. And no matter where you are, remember, Jesus came for stingy people and selfish people to help us to become all that we could be. Really, Christmas is a time, a magical time, to appreciate your life and to become all that you can be. I wanted to share with you something that I saw. It's a prose, and it's called One Solitary Life. It was written by a man named James Francis in 1929, 100 years ago. One Solitary Life. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpentry shop until he was 30. Then he became an itinerant preacher, never held an office, never had a family, never owned a house, didn't have any money, never wrote a book, didn't go to college, had no credentials but himself, 20 centuries have come and gone. Today, he's the central figure of the human race. Time is even measured because of his birth. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. And of course, that's Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. Would you open up your heart? He's knocking at the door of your heart. Would you receive him and open the gift that God has given you? And you will know transformation, the fact that you've been adopted into the family, and the true meaning of Jesus' name, that God saves. Merry Christmas to you. May Almighty God bless you. And don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.